The Most High God. God hears every prayer. He knows every need. So why don't we just lift up our voice, let's take these names before Him, and let's believe that He hears and He can work in the name of Jesus. God, we believe, Lord, that You are working. God, touch each and every need. God, touch Sister Atkins. Touch Brother Coltharp. Touch Brother Day. Touch Amber and Abby. God, do a work right now in these needs. I pray, God, that You'd begin to move and You'd begin to minister. You begin to work. God, let faith arise. I pray that faith would be felt all over this sanctuary, God. I come against any weariness right now. I come against anybody that's broken, that's beaten down. God, I pray that faith would move into the building. God, lift us up. God, we believe that You are here. We believe that You can work. We believe You're a prayer answering God. Begin to call upon His name. Come on, begin to reach. Continue to reach right now. God is in this place to work and to move. let's just thank Him for being in this place today. God, we thank You, Lord. God, we thank You, Lord, for Your presence. We thank You, Lord, for Your touch. And we thank You, God, for what we feel here. And we want more. We want more, God. We want more, Lord. Jesus. My wife, if you had a chance to be in here this morning, she spoke wonderfully, but she spoke that good is never going to be good enough. I don't want good church. I don't want to be satisfied with a good move of God. I don't want a good prayer time. I don't want good worship. I don't want good preaching. I want the best that God has for us. I want the best. God's got so much more. He's got so much more depth. He wants to take us there. It's up to us if we go there. It's not up to Him. God's saying, I would love to take you there if you would make the decision to go there. Amen. Love what I feel today. A few announcements as our ushers be prepared to take up today's tithe and offering. There'll be prayer tonight here at 6 p.m. This Wednesday we'll be worshiping the Word at 7. And next Sunday there's going to be a department head meeting immediately following service. We will have more details for those involved on that, but that'll be next Sunday. Today we're going to try something a little different. It's something that I know a number of churches have done this. I've been a part of services and churches that have done this, and it's always encouraged me to do this. So it's something that's different. I realize that, but we're going to put, you can go ahead and put the first slide up on the screen. It may be in smaller font. I gave this to him a little bit, a few minutes right before service started. So, but we're going to say this together, and this is a prayer, this is a pledge, this is a statement. This isn't, there's no magic behind it other than we're speaking this out in faith. That when we give to the kingdom, God will bless it. God, we're not just giving to an entity, we're giving to the entity. We're giving to God, and whatever He does with our money, we trust. And we're doing this intentionally for the kingdom. So we're going to say this as a declaration together. So you ready? Can you read it? Can you get your glasses? If not, we'll shrink it down and we'll fix it next Sunday. But we're going to say this together. Upon the authority of Your word, I have given and it shall be given unto me. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I am a tither, and I bring my offerings to the house of the Lord. I bring them today into the storehouse. Therefore, the enemy is rebuked, the curse is broken, and I live under an open heaven. We receive jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, sales and commissions, benefits and settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, bills paid off, debts demolished, and royalties received. I and my whole family am blessed and walking in the favor of God. I have health and abundance, and I am blessed coming in and going out in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Again, it is not a magic saying. There's nothing to it other than we are getting together in unity and we are proclaiming some things. Some of us I know are looking for jobs. We receive jobs and better jobs. Some of us I know would like checks in the mail and have seen checks in the mail. I believe that God has checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, bills paid off. He's got stuff for us if we are faithful to Him. Amen. Amen. Ushers, you could take up the offering. Give unto the Lord. Amen.
No place I'd rather be than here in Your love, here in
similar vein to take me there. It's similar just in my mindset. And I just feel like God is saying, you're saying, fill me up. You want to be filled up. Do you really want to be filled up? I mean, I just was made a note on my phone and just felt a sermon kind of come up or a thought come up. But just we say, fill me up, and we get content, but we only bring a bottle's worth. God, fill me up, and he fills us up. But if this is the only thing I drink for the week, I'll run out by tonight. And then we're like, oh, I was filled up today. What happened? Well, we need to fill all of it. We should bring as much that we can to God. We should empty out everything else. This shouldn't be the amount of filling up that we get. We should be a 55-gallon drum of fill me up. As much as we can bring, a fire truck. How much is in a fire truck, Mason? 20,000 gallons of water is what we should be being filled up with. Amen. Now I can't even preach that sermon. It'll be a better sermon when I preach it. The book of Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We need a vision for where God is directing us in 2020. I'm very thankful for what God has done. Was talking to Sister Pat just before service started, and to the best of her memory, this church has been around 55, 56 years. I am tremendously blessed. We are tremendously blessed to have a church with that kind of heritage. To be around for 50 plus years, there's not many of those churches around that have been through the times. They've seen highs, they've seen lows, you've seen highs, you've seen lows, and I'm thankful that God has brought us through every single one of those different seasons of life. But I do believe that we are at a new season. We are at a new cusp, and it's not just because you have a new pastor. It's not just because of the transition of us. I feel like God is trying to do a new thing in this church. Not to tear down what has been done before, but like my wife talked about today, to build upon what has been done before. We would be nowhere without the foundation that has been established within this church. But I believe God has established a foundation for a purpose, and that's to build a tall structure, a strong church, a wide church. I believe God has that, and he's trying to do that moving forward into 2020. So I want to turn our attention to the book of John, chapter 15, verse 4. There'll be two passages, then we'll jump to chapter 13. But verse 4 says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The book of John, chapter 13, and only one verse, verse 34, says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. I want to speak to us today, and actually I reminded Sister Rachel of this morning. Her and I were discussing, our families, we were discussing kind of 2020 and the Sunday school and the sound and just kind of talking about the future. And I had asked, do you have any thoughts? Kind of what would you think if we had to narrow it down to what the vision would be for next year? And she immediately, I'd asked a few other people this question, and they had answers, and I'm not Downing. They all had good answers, but it was just something about how she immediately just said, I just feel make a connection, or just make the connection. I don't know, whatever that is. Just kind of, I've been thinking about that, and I felt that. And from that moment, November 11th was the day of that we got together and discussed that. From that moment, I've been thinking, and my wife and I have been thinking and praying. And so I believe that is where we're going to head for 2020. And it's going to be make the connection. Make the connection. Let's pray that God would touch not only this service, but our year. Now we need prayers moving forward. We need prayers in advance. Let's pray right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for everything you did to bring us to today. God, every miracle, every answered prayer, every life that has been changed, every person that has come to an altar before here in 55 years, every person filled with the Holy Ghost, every person baptized, every life that has been changed, every eternity that has been changed. But God, I pray, Lord, moving forward, we would continue in the revival that you have for this church. We would have a vision. We'd have a desire to move and grow closer to you and connect with those around us. God, help us to be connected to you first and then to connect others to you. God, use us as a conduit, as a tool, God, to connect others to Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, and we give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated today. We're going to make the connection, breaking that out in two ways. The first way, we need to make the connection with God. I believe God is calling us to connect with him in ways that we have never connected before. We just sang a couple of songs, take me there, fill me up. And we have a desire, we have a want to go deeper with God. The verse that we read to open the service, John 15:4, abide in me, I in you. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask something and it will be done. I believe God is drawing us to abide with him, to dwell with him, to get to a depth with him that we've never gotten to before. God wants us to have a relationship with him that we've never experienced before. He wants us to get past a courtship phase with God. It's more than a dating relationship that we can have with Jesus Christ. He desires us to be his bride. He calls the church his bride, and he longs for us to be in an intimate relationship with him. As you know, a husband and a bride, or a groom and a bride, a man and wife, they're in a very intimate relationship. They share things that they don't share with anybody else, and sensitivities and emotions, and it's a personal, intimate relationship. And God wants you and he to have an intimate, personal relationship, not a once-a-week relationship. I believe the time of having a once-a-week relationship with God is long overdue. It's long past. If we're going to see revival, it's more than just a couple hours on a Sunday. It's got to be time spent dwelling with him on a Tuesday, time spent abiding with him on a Thursday. Those times where only you can get close with God, where there isn't anybody up singing songs, where there isn't someone next to you praying in an altar. It's time where you say, God, I want to abide with you, and I want you to abide with me. I want you to dwell in my life. I want you to dwell in my heart. I want you to make a home in my life. Right now, and as you know, we've been living, my wife and I have been living with the Duels. They've opened up their home, and they've been very kind and been extremely generous, and we will be eternally grateful for the kindness that they've shown to us as we go through this transition. But I will say, to my wife's excitement and also to the Duels' excitement, we are not going to abide with them. We may be staying with them, but we have no intention to dwell with them. It is a temporary relation or temporary stay, not a temporary relationship. And that cannot be. We are past having that roommate mentality with Jesus Christ. We want God to make a home in our heart. We want God to put down roots. We want God to change his address. We want God to get Wi-Fi. We want God to make a true home in our life. And if we're going to do that with God, if we're going to make that connection with God, we have to change our desires of him. See, in a courtship relationship with God, you come to church with the sole intention to bring your needs to God. You come and you bring needs, you lay them on the altar, and you expect God to answer those prayers. That's the relationship with Jesus. And we begin to pray, and I feel like we pray to every body part of God. We say, God, hear my prayer. listen to my voice. Turn your ear to me. God, speak in my situation. You speak the words. God, reach your hand down into this need. Step your foot. God, step in to this situation. We just call upon the body parts of God, or we focus on the attributes of God. God, I need mercy today. God, comfort me today. God, I need the joy of the Holy Ghost. God, I need strength. And we come with just needs, and we just focus on the individual parts of God and his attributes. But when we do that, we almost bring a honey-do list to God. We bring our list of things, our list of chores, our list of stuff that we can't handle, and we just say, God, here it is. I need you to do this, 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 and this. And if this isn't done by Wednesday at 5, the list is going to be double. So like you're going out of town and you're leaving your teenager at home by himself, you got to give him chores to do. That's what we do with God, and we give him that sort of relationship. But if we are going to make a connection with God that is deeper than that, we have to focus more than on his attributes. We just have to focus upon him. 2 Chronicles 7:14, a passage we know well, but it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, not seek my hand, not seek my joy, not seek my grace, just seek me. If you will seek me, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sins. Then I will heal their land. If we would just get in our mind that I don't need the hand of God, I don't need the voice of God, I don't need his blessings, I don't need any of that, I just need God himself. I just want God alone. I don't care if he does anything, I just want him. I just desire him. I just want that connection with him. If we would do that, we would go to a level we've never been before. God wants us to forget about us. That passage, it says, humble yourself. Turn from your wicked ways. Get over yourself. Get over what you're doing and just seek the face of God. I don't think it's God's will to be the God of your needs. He will be the God of your needs. That's a part of what he does. But more so than just the God of your needs, he wants to be the God of your life. He wants to be the God of your blessings. He wants to be the God of your family. He wants to be the God of your time. He wants to be the God of your energies. He wants to be the God of your emotions. He wants to be God over your life. We have to desire God and only God. I don't want his hands working. I don't want his feet working. I just want God to work in my life. Psalms 105:4 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Seek the face of God. God, we want your glory. We want to see your glory. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. He didn't want anything else. He just wanted to see the glory of God. And he couldn't even do that because it would have killed him. But God allowed him to see just the back half, just a little bit of God, just the smallest portion of the remnants of God. And when he saw that, when he came around everybody else, he was changed. He glowed. He had been on the mountain with God. And I desire to be changed. I desire to be different. I want people to know that I have been with God. This is not to build me up at all, and I don't think you'll take it this way, and it wasn't that, but it was just such a cool thing. Mason and I, we're going Friday, and we were looking at going to gyms because, you know, we got to get buff, you know? We're guys. Or I've just realized that I've eaten quite a bit since I've been in Sandwich. A lot of sandwiches here. But we went to the Y in Sandwich. Always point the wrong way. I just told Sister Janice, always point the wrong way. We went to the Hawaiian Sandwich, and the lady, Jackie is her name, she's showing us around, and she's showing, here's this. And as we're walking, and Mason could attest to this, and I don't know why, I was wearing a hat. I was in tennis shoes. I wasn't in a suit. I was slumming it. But she just turned as we were walking and just looked at me and said, are you a pastor? Or a priest, or and I mean it caught both of us off guard. I just like, yes, I am. She's like, yeah, I thought so, and just kept walking. I was like, can I ask? I mean, what is that? What is? She goes, you just you just kind of have a look. You're just the way you talk, just a smile. And I don't know if I've been talking too much. She's used to people. You know, I don't know what it was. She didn't say, your face is glowing. Oh, you look like the face of God. It was not that at all. But it just was, I came home and I told my wife, and I don't know what it was. I really don't, but it was just encouraging. I mean, it just, we have the ability to look different to the world. If we get alone with Jesus, we become different. The world will see that we are different. There is something about us. If we would get connected to God, we would have that. And it wasn't, not me. It was. I don't know what it was. I have no clue what it was, but God was there. I believe it. But we used to sing a song, and I was trying to even think of the song. I couldn't just think of the chorus, and maybe you know it, but it or a part of the bridge, it says, we don't want blessings, we want you. And I remember I would tell my wife, when we were driving in the car one time, we had it on the radio, and I said, that's so stupid. Why did they write this? We don't want blessings. We don't want, who doesn't want blessings, you know? Why couldn't they just write, not just blessings, we also you? Or on top of blessings, more of you, you know? I'm not a songwriter, apparently. But as I was thinking about it, and as I've thought about it since then, I've matured as to what the writer was trying to say. But it is beyond blessings. I don't want blessings. If I never got another financial blessing, if I never was my physical body, if I never got a healing again, if I never got a touch again, if I never experienced any blessing again, but yet I got Jesus. If I got him, that's more than enough for me. I don't need any blessing. I don't need what would benefit my flesh. I want what God has for me. I don't want blessings. If you get Jesus, that's the only blessing in your life that will matter. And God, or getting connected to God like we've never been before, desiring godly things like we've never desired before, is how we are going to see a revival. I believe that we can bring our needs to God, and he will answer them, and he will work. But better than bringing needs, bring yourself, bring your praise, bring your time, bring your efforts, bring your energies, and God will always show up. The second part of making the connection is making... First is making the connection to God, but secondly, I believe we are called to make the connection with others. I believe God is calling for us to connect and to connect to others in ways that we have never connected before. Matthew 22, verse 36 says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Galatians 5:14, Paul echoes this. He says, For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Both Jesus and Paul tell us, love your neighbor as yourself. And we know those words. We've heard those words since we were in Sunday school. They would teach them in Sunday school, but we understand those words. But do we live those words? Do we love our neighbors? I mean, it's easy to say, love you, bro. Good talk. I love you. Praying for you. No effort there. I mean, love you. Praying for you. Man, what a word. What a touch. How encouraging. I'll be praying about that. Love you, sis. You know, we can just throw those words out there, but to love somebody is real effort. It takes real energy. I've gotten up after a long weekend of staying at my fiance's house with her parents and gotten up at 3:30 on a Monday morning to drive the 4.5-hour drive home so I could get to work at 8 a.m. and just sit there for 9 hours, just barely awake. And it made the most sense to do that at Sunday night at 10 p.m. You know, it just makes perfect sense because, that's an extra 5 hours. Yes, we'll be sleeping, but yes, that's so much time I could spend. She can make me coffee in the morning at 3:30 and give me a sweet kiss goodbye. And the things you do, and it makes perfect sense when you're in love. And some of you may roll your eyes at that, but I know you did as crazy of things one time when you were in love. Now maybe you've settled in and you don't do those crazy things and you need to do some crazy things. Right, ladies? Amen. I better stop. Men, I'm on your side, I promise. But it made perfect sense to do that because you were in love. And as you become a parent, you start to realize that your parents, the parents' love for a child goes beyond any other sort of love. The sacrifice that you willingly make, that now that I'm a parent of just a one-year-old, I see even a small scale of how much my parents sacrificed for me and how much they gave, not only financially, but physically and of their time, because they loved me. Because real love costs something. That's why these words, love thy neighbor as thyself, are not to be taken lightly. We can't just offhandedly say love ya and think that that matters. We really need to love someone as ourselves. All of us are here today in a church for one primary reason. We all want to go to heaven. Maybe there's other reasons you're here. Maybe you were drug here. Maybe it was warmer than your house. If it is, we'll work on your heat. But maybe there are other secondary reasons that we were here. But the primary end of the day reason is that because we all, in our own best interests, want to go to heaven. Because the alternative is eternity in hell. And we are keeping our eternal soul's best interest in mind by avoiding that because we love ourselves. So the scripture, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you love yourself, you come to church because we want to make heaven our home. So if we are doing that for other people, why are we not reaching? Why are we not connecting? Why are we not inviting those around us in our lives that don't have the blessing and opportunity to know what we know, and that's Jesus Christ died for them so they could be saved, so they could have an eternity in heaven? If we love them, we need to connect with them. We need to reach to them. And God desires us to love others. He gives us many scriptures, and I'll only read a few of them. 1 John 4, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Romans 12, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. Galatians 6, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Hebrews 13, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That is how people are going to know that we are God's disciples, if we have love one to another. That is going to be our identifier, our name tag, our moniker. Did they love others? Were they, if they were a true disciple of me, did they love others? Not just saying love others, not just smiling, not even hugging somebody's neck, but loving them enough to say there is a God that loves you. There, it's more than just, hey, hope things are going well. You got a coworker, oh, you're in need, praying for you, sis. Praying for you. I mean, that is a good start, but we need to connect with one person, connect with somebody beyond just love you, talk to you, see you on Monday, love you. And we know that they are in a pit. They are in darkness. They are struggling. If we loved them enough, we would make a connection. We'd come along beside them, and we'd say, there is a God that loves you. There is a church that will love you. There is a people that will love you. There is a God that died for you so you could be saved. It's more than just casual relationships. We have a lot of casual friendships. We have a lot of casual relationships, and God wants us to get past that. He gave us the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. God has called each and every one of us to be disciple makers. God has called us to replace ourselves. He's not content. There's no magic number that he's trying to get to. He doesn't have a full occupancy in heaven. He's not worried. We're teetering the line. I better come quickly. That way I ain't got no more room. I'm stuck. No, God's got a heaven that is beyond what we can imagine, and it's for every single person. He wants us to reach, and I'm not telling us. I'm trying to be intentional, and I'll go into it in just a minute as we close, but I'm trying to be intentional that it's not on us to reach 20 people next year. I'm not asking Sister Kellum that you should baptize 20 people. Everyone you work with should get the Holy Ghost. I'm not trying to put any crazy things on that. I'm just trying to put one person in our mind that this year we can make a connection with. This year we can tell them about Jesus Christ. This year we can teach a Bible study. This year we can encourage them to come to church, even if it's just for Harvest Fest to start, or if it's just for the kids' play to start, or if we do something on 4th of July, it's just whatever. Just make a connection. Just make the connection, because it could be the connection that would change their eternity. It could be the moment, the connection that would change everything in their life. And I've asked Sister Connie. She's going to share something just for a moment. And I asked her beforehand, so nobody get worried that it's open mic, that I'm going to come shove a mic in your face. But I asked Sister Connie to share a bit of her story.
Praise the Lord. I was raised not in the truth, and I went to church every Sunday, but and I know some of you have heard this many times if you know me very long, but it still just amazes me and still moves me when I think about God's mercy and grace. And I was not raised to believe or never taught that you could feel God, that you loved God, you respected him, and you honored his commandments. And when I was 16 years old, in the spring, I'd say around May, I was in my bedroom at home, and I started to feel conviction, and I felt God's presence just fill the room. I was overwhelmed and sobbing. I have never felt that way, and the thing is, what still surprises me now is I was not afraid. I knew it was him, yet I had never felt his presence and never knew that you could, never taught that you could, but I knew it was him. And I repented of my sins. I knew, I certainly knew what was right and wrong, and I knew I was doing wrong. So I just felt such a conviction. Well, I went on from there. A lot happened in the next few months after that, and I ended up married at 16, and the next month, I got married in August, and I turned 17 the next month, and that same month, my sister Julie got the Holy Ghost, and we both married into the same family. So Sister Doris, who's not here this morning, unfortunately, she just talked to me about the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, and she just told me the plan of salvation. And so I knew that. I came to church with her a few times. She stood next to me and shouted, and I was just like, oh, this is what she's talking about. I wasn't scared. I didn't love being here. It was more like she's asked me. She's my new mother-in-law, and so, I'll come. I didn't feel anything those first couple times that I came. But come November, the second weekend in November, and I'm not good one with dates, so I don't remember the date, but it was Brother and Sister Davis's first anniversary service, because they used to have one every year, and they had been there a year, and Doris had invited me, so I agreed to come, and then Julie stopped by my house, and she said something to me. And I'm not going to go into it. She has no idea. She had no idea, and I don't think she even remembers what she said to me, but she said something to me that night, and it brought that conviction, that feeling that I felt back in May. I felt that instantly, and I came to church feeling that way. No one had any idea. I was already under conviction. So it was not hard when Brother Davis said, can you all come up to pray? And I came to the altar and I repented and I got baptized that night and I got the Holy Ghost the next night. But I know that Brother Johnson, he's talking about a connection. You know, sometimes you ever avoid someone that's invited you to church many times. Brother Davis, if I saw him over at the Adkins man, I would be like, oh no, he's here. You know, you couldn't see him without him inviting you to church. That was just not a part. I think he's probably like that now. I don't know. But I would avoid him. But, you know, when Doris would invite me, I was comfortable enough. Everybody was friendly. But you just never know what God is doing in someone's life. No one had any idea. I don't think I showed it until altar service that I was already, and I knew it was God. It was the same God that I had felt in my room by myself, a little Catholic girl, never knowing that you could feel God's presence. And I felt that exact same presence when in conviction when my sister said something to me before I came. So, you know, God's just so, it's just so cool. It's just so perfect how he, you know, how he works things out and that he is reaching. And that's what my desire is. I don't want to just invite someone to church. I want God to use me to connect with someone on the outside and help him help me to know. Even if I don't realize what I just said stirred something in them. Julie had no idea, but I want God to use me not to just say, okay, Brother Johnson said that I need to reach someone. Who can it be? You know, oh, if he says who's invited someone to church, I want to be able to raise my hands. I don't want to be embarrassed. You know, it's not like that. I really do. I personally really want a burden, and I want to reach through with God. I want to reach into someone's life, and that's what I want to do. Not just that we should, that it's the Great Commission that God said we should. I want to make a difference in someone's lives. And so we have started, Julie and I, as far as bloodline goes, we have started our own Pentecostal heritage. And I am just so thankful that this is what that invitation did. God chose me, and just like he's chosen all of you, and there's so many more, as Brother Johnson said, that he wants here, that he wants to be saved. But it just does my heart so good to, you know, that God still, then he's growing my family, and we've got a third generation Pentecost because of it. And then on Julie's side also, and I just so, so thankful for his mercy. And I want a burden for a soul and reach out to someone this year. Also, not because it's our deal this year, but because I really want God to be able to use me. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
She basically just preached the end of this, so. But what she is saying is what I exactly, when she told me this, in private, I asked her if she would be willing to do what she did, and I appreciate that. But just the part that, I mean, it all sticks out to me, but she had already experienced something on her own. God had already visited her in her bedroom. God had already planted a seed. No one knew that God had planted that seed. Julie didn't know. Doris didn't know. They didn't know that God had already started a work, but God had started a work. I believe God has started works all over Sandwich, Illinois. He's planted seeds. There's people that grew up a sweet little Catholic girl, a sweet little Catholic boy, someone that didn't grow up in church. There's people all over this city, all over this area that have that God has been reaching and planning, and we are waiting on somebody to just come alongside and say, hey, we're having a church service, or hey, can we go get coffee and just talk about God? Can I teach you a Bible study? Can I do something? There are people who are hungry and desperately waiting for somebody to make that connection. And when that connection was made, Sister Connie just said it. Not only did that one little connection, Sister Doris just saying, come along, it's an anniversary service. That one little connection not only changed Sister Connie's life, but Sister Rachel's life, but Sadie's life. It changed three generations of eternity, not to mention the Sunday school children that Sister Rachel and Sister Connie have had their hand in. When you make a connection, you're not just affecting one life. You're affecting multiple eternities. There's multiple people hinging upon your one connection that you can make. Just one act, just one moment, like Sister Connie just said, that not because we're putting it on a screen or not because we're trying to make it a vision or a theme for the year, but just because you want to see somebody's soul saved. You want to come alongside and you want to say, God did so much for me. Look what God can do for you. God healed me. God provided. God touched my family. God did this. God did that. Look what God can do in your life. We have the greatest gift that anybody could ever get. Why wouldn't we share this? Why wouldn't we push this? Why wouldn't we open the doors to somebody else? God didn't just give it just so we could keep it, so we could hide it under a bushel, so it could be ours and ours alone. This isn't something just for you and me. This is something for everybody. God has something so much more if we will just step out and make the connection, because you don't know what the connection can do, what influence that one insignificant moment, some 40 years ago, so just a small an installation service or a anniversary service, just who cares in the scheme of life? We don't even know what day it was. It doesn't matter what day it was, but look at the effect that small moment had upon eternity. Amen. 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 I know that I could have gone open mic. I could have said, you know, and I will just ask, just by the raising of hand, I'm not going to put the mic in anybody's face, but who here is a first generation, you didn't grow up in this? Now I wasn't going to do this. I lied to you. I'm not putting the mic in anybody's face, but I just feel that if you could raise your hand one more time and just be thinking, we're just going to pop around the room, just say, if you can, in your mind, think of the one connection in your life and just shout it out. What's the one connection, Brother Al, why you're here? Amen. Sister Christy. I don't want to call anybody that doesn't want to, but anybody that had their hand raised, anybody want to just yell out what Sister Janice? Amen. There's someone who's not here this year. But if you would allow God to do what just these few testimonies, Brother Al, somebody coming up to him in the Jewel parking lot, Sister Christy, someone just picking her up. She, both of them were searching for something. They were in... just like Sister Connie, searching for something, feeling something. God is pouring out something. He's looking for people to go reap his harvest. He's planted the seeds. He's done the work. Now he's looking for somebody to reap the harvest. And if you would make the connection, I believe we'd be sitting in this service in 2021, and they could stand up and say, well, if it wasn't for this person, if it wasn't for Sister Joella, if it wasn't for Alex, if it wasn't for Sister Robin, I wouldn't be here. They found me. I was at the mall. I was at the whatever. I worked with her. There's so many connections that God wants to bring if we would be willing to step out and make the connection and draw them to Jesus. If we could stand as we close. I believe God wants us to do like we said, make the connection to him and then make the connection to them. And when we make that connection, we serve as a conduit that he works through and he moves and he ministers. In the mid-1920s, there was a young girl. She was younger than 10 years old. Mabel Hurst was her name. Mabel Hurst's older sister had been invited to a tent revival. And people were getting this crazy thing called the Holy Ghost in Savannah, Tennessee. They hadn't known religion their entire lives. They weren't raised in any sort of church. But they had heard the stories, just like Sister Janice had, of speaking in tongues. How bizarre the services were, and their interest was piqued. Mabel was young, under 10, I think right around 8 years old. She didn't really want to go, but she didn't have a choice. Both her parents were working, and Mabel's sister was responsible for her. So she had to go to this tent revival. The only problem for Mabel and her sister was that they lived in a neighboring town called Adamsville, Tennessee, which was 10 miles away from Savannah. And being that it was the 1920s, they didn't have a car that they could just hop into. So they had to walk 10 miles. Her older sister walking Mabel in a wagon, being pulled 10 miles to a tent revival in Savannah, Tennessee. That evening, after a brutal 10-mile walk in the middle of the summer, a wagon ride, Mabel and her sister entered into a tent one way and walked out of that tent forever changed. They received the gift of the Holy Ghost there, and Mabel caught something that she would hold on to for the rest of her life. Later in life, because of Mabel, because of what she experienced as a small girl, Mabel's mother would come to live for the Lord and be filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Mabel would go on to get married and have a daughter. Before she had the daughter, Mabel's husband, similar to Sister Janice, the opposite with male and female, but Mabel's husband was another religion, but she converted him over, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. She'd have a daughter, Yvonne. She would raise Yvonne in the church. Yvonne would be filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. And Mabel would pass away after spending her entire life living for the Lord. Yvonne would go on to have a son named Mark. He'd be born in church, not knowing anything other than living for the Lord. He'd receive the Holy Ghost and be baptized. He would go on to attend Bible college, travel overseas as a missionary, preach the gospel all over the world, and then move back to the States and become a pastor of a local church. Yvonne would pass away after spending her entire life living for the Lord. Mark would have a son. He'd go on to be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and live for the Lord. God's hand would be upon him. Extra grace and mercy would be shown to him. And 90 years after, someone went out of their way to make the connection to Mabel, just inviting little Mabel Hurst, just a little 8, 9, 10-year-old girl, some 90, 95 years later, that her great-grandson would get the opportunity to be elected pastor of First Apostolic Church in Sandwich, Illinois. Just one connection. Just one person going out of their way for Mabel and her sister. Two minor, insignificant girls in 1925, 1927, whatever year it was. Just something minor. But look what God did in eternity. I never got to meet my great-grandmother Mabel. No one in my family knows who the person was that invited my great-grandmother. No one knows who made that connection when I asked relatives about the story. But I hope, and I don't know if God would actually give us this, I don't really think he will, but I hope personally, selfishly, in some cool way, when we get to heaven, I just think it'd be the coolest thing if I got to meet whoever, guy, girl, whoever it was that said I was the one that invited that little girl in the wagon. I remember her. She went to church. I didn't even see her at the tent revival that night. I didn't even know. I'd just like to shake that person, hug their neck, and say thank you. Thank you for making that connection. Because of your willingness to make a connection, she got the Holy Ghost. Her daughter got the Holy Ghost. Her grandson got the Holy Ghost. Her great-grandson got the Holy Ghost. Her great-great-granddaughter one day will get the Holy Ghost. Because of one connection, eternities were changed. Generations were changed. Lives all over the world were changed because of one connection. If we're going to have revival like we desire in 2020, it won't be because we sat back and we waited for it. It will be because we made up in our mind that first we're going to get connected to God in a way we've never been connected before. And secondly, we are going to put it upon ourselves to connect with somebody and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we are going to be disciples, that we are going to reach somebody, even if it's one person, even if it's just one family member, even if it's one coworker, one stranger, we are going to reach them for Jesus Christ. The ushers are passing out paper. Keep, if you're praying right now, keep in a spirit of prayer, but they're going to start to hand out little sheets of paper. And it just has the vision and a verse connected to it, but it has a line. And the line says, my connection in 2020 will be, I'm not, there's no test. There's, we're not going to look at these at 2021 and say, did you do your job? That's not what this is about. This is about putting somebody on our hearts that we are going to pray for. You may not even know who this person is yet. I don't know who God is going to connect you with. But if you would be willing to step out of your comfort zone and just get alongside somebody, God will do the work. God can change generations. He can change beyond what you can imagine. That person had no idea the change that she would make. As he passes these out, just wherever you're at, just begin to pray internal or pray out loud. Pray that God would give you a name. Come on, let's just begin to pray. God, speak a name into my heart. God, direct me. God, there may be someone here. If it's blank because there's no one on your heart, say, God, this week, give me somebody. In the next 2 weeks, put somebody on my heart that I could connect with. It can be a family member. It can be someone that is no longer in church that should be in church. Just begin to think about it. God, I pray. Come on, pray sincerely for a moment. If you just picked up your paper, don't write a name down just yet. Just pray sincerely. If God has laid someone on your heart, then put their name down. But just pray right where you're at. God, open my eyes. God, give me faith. God, I'm intimidated. It's not my personality. I'm not comfortable with this. But God, you called me to reach the lost. You called me to be a disciple maker. God, I will make the connection. I will get connected to you, but God, I need you to connect me with somebody. Oh, God, speak to us. I pray quicken names, quicken family members, quicken co-workers. God, quicken somebody that we ran into. God, just quicken a name right now. God, we're not going to question it. We're not going to make it a big deal. We're not going to share it with the class. We're not going to do anything, God. But this is a personal moment between you and God. God, speak to me right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And if you have a name, go ahead and write that name down. And you don't have to share it with anybody. Just write that name down. If you need a pen, raise your hand. If you got a pen, share a pen. Just let's give people just a moment. Just put somebody's name down. By putting pen to paper, by going a step further, I believe we begin to speak it into existence. We begin to get a boldness, get a faith. That God is going to do it. God will do it. God will do it. Now, if you've had a chance to write those names down, I'm going to invite everybody that will. I'm going to invite us to all come crowd around together. Bring your piece of paper. We're getting ready to pray over these names together. We're going to pray over each other together. And I believe that faith is going to rise up. That God is going to speak to us right now. In Jesus' name. We're going to pray two prayers. The first prayer we're going to pray is that we make the connection with God this year. We can't do any connection we make with man without first a connection to God is not going to be a strong connection. We need to make a connection with God like we've never had before. So before we pray over these names, let's take a moment. Let's lift up our hands and let's pray that we would have a connection with God, a depth with the Holy Ghost, an experience that we've never had before this year. A desire for something more than just status quo, than just good. We're coming against the mindset of good is good enough. I'm not content with good any longer. I want great. I want a great relationship with God. I want a great experience. I want the best that God has to offer. I want the best calling. I want the best walk. I want the best that I can be. I've been called. I have 5 talents. I want to use the best of my 5 talents. I have 2 talents. I want the best use of those 2. God, I want the best. Help us right now in the name of Jesus. God, to go deeper. God, to get more. God, help us, Lord, to go to a place we've never experienced before. God, let there be a depth. God, let there be a connection. I pray, God, in our families, Lord, let there be a connection to each other with you at the center, Lord, for each mother and each father. God, that they would have a depth in their marriage that would be centered around you. For each young person, there'd be a depth, God. Each teenager, each young adult, God, let us have a depth and a connection to you like we've never had before. God, we want to go deeper. God, we need to go deeper. God, we're not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with what I had last year. I'm not satisfied with a surface level connection. God, I want your roots to be planted deep into my heart. Jesus. Jesus. Now we each one of us have written down a name. We have a name that we believe we've prayed and God has quickened to our hearts. In just a moment we're going to pray and I want you to pray for a couple of things. I want you to pray first off for that person. You know them. You know where they're at. I mean, you don't know the details. I believe wholeheartedly that the name you've written down, they would say that they are just like Connie, just like Brother Al, just like Sister Christy. They are looking for something. On the outside, it may look like they got it all together, but you don't know how many times God has woken them up at midnight. How they've opened up their Bible, they don't even know where to look. They're just struggling. They're praying, God, send someone to me. And you're thinking, I'm writing this name. This is stupid. They're not interested. But you don't know who is desperately crying out, saying, God, send someone to me. So we're going to pray. First thing we're going to pray for as we go through this prayer, we'll pray all together, but pray that wherever they're at, that they would be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Pray that they would be sensitive. Even now, if they've never experienced God, they would have a desire and a drawing of the Holy Ghost. And then we're going to pray for ourselves, that we would step out in a boldness and a faith that we've never had before. Because this is God's plan and God's will for our church. This is the vision. And so it is a good thing to walk in that vision. It is a godly thing to walk in that plan. So why don't we begin to do that? Let's just lift up a cry unto the Lord. Come on, call upon these people's names. Call upon your friend, your coworker. God, see them. God, see them right now. God, see Jill. God, see Tiffany. God, see Sahara. See Ariana. God, see them right now. See Jackie. God, you know where they're at. I pray that some would prick their hearts. God, that something would cause a shift in their hearts. God, see Jim. See Heather. God, you know where they're at. You know what they're going through right now. But God, I pray that there'd be a sensitivity that they've never had before. Wake them up in the middle of the night, God. God, tear up the soil. God, plant the seed, God, and I'll come by and harvest it. But God, I need you to tear up the soil first. God, I'm not good at that. I need you to make them sensitive. God, speak to them in the darkness. God, reach to them, God. And once you've done that, I pray I would have a boldness in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody pray for faith. God will give you faith if you ask for it. God, give me faith to do what is being preached about, to do the vision of making this connection. God, I'm intimidated. I'm overwhelmed. But God, I am going to step out. God, I am making a promise to you and you alone. I am stepping out in faith. I am going to see their soul saved. God, you are going to do the work, but I will reach. God, I will be the conduit. God, you will baptize them. You will fill them with the Holy Ghost. You will change their life. But God, I will open up myself to be used. Oh, God, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. God, use me. Use me to make this connection. Now, in one last act of faith, I feel it in my spirit to do this. I want us to all turn towards the pews. Just turn and face the pews. And we're going to stretch out our hands. And we're going to, I want you to get an image of faith, of that person you've prayed for, coming through those doors, taking a seat on these pews, sitting next to you, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Why don't you just begin in faith to believe it, to speak it. God, you are going to do it. God, I believe, let faith arise right now. God, let faith arise. God, you are going to bring these people into this church. God, you are going to reach, God, through your saints, through your disciples. People's lives are going to be changed, God. We are going to see people filled with the Holy Ghost. We're going to see lives and generations and families changed, God, because we are willing to make this connection. Oh, let it be done in the name of Jesus. Let it be done in the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
You can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Let's sing this together as we close.
If you, you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Let's just sing it one more time.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Amen. Amen.
God can use each and every one of us. God will use each and every one of us if you're willing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:9, "For I am the least of these apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, we are here. But by the grace of God, we are called. But by the grace of God, we will see people's lives changed." Amen. 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 Be encouraged today. Hold on. I mean, you don't have to do anything with those papers. I'm not telling you to laminate them, but do whatever. Keep those. If you lose the paper, fine. Don't lose the mission. Don't lose the vision. Hold on to that person. I believe in 2021, we can, I look forward. I believe, whoever that person is, I don't know if they have stage fright, if they're worried about talking to a microphone, but we are going to make them testify. We are all agreeing, and someone is going to say, "Somebody made the connection with me." Amen. Amen. You are dismissed today. Before you're dismissed, one more thing. I don't want to embarrass them, and I tried not to, but make sure you say hi. This is Taryn and Aaron. Just, they're friends of ours. We know them well, so treat them like you treat us. A little kinder than that, but shake their hands, hug their necks. Aaron has a little carpal tunnel, so